today. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for coming. I hope you guys had a great week. Last week, of course, we had 30-second theology. You guys like 30-second theology, by the way? You like that? Wasn't that fun? I love that. So much fun. Well, we were actually out of town because my son just got married. I want to show you a quick picture here. This is Cole and Lily. Can we show that real quick? We got to show. There we go. They just got married. She actually said yes to him. Crazy, right? I mean, like, wow. Amazing. And we're so thrilled for them. It was such a good time. But it's great to be with you guys today. And I've had an eventful week. We had that. And I was out of town for that, of course, and other things. But then last night, we did Red Dinner. We do this every year at Valentine's Day. My wife just does this massive spread. If you don't believe me, just go to her Instagram. You can see it. It's crazy. And so she has this massive spread of food. It's awesome. But there's a lot of work going on. So I come in last night, and I come in yesterday afternoon. I've already done all these tasks she wanted. And I walked in. I was like, hey, what's going on? And she goes like this. She goes, and she's looking around. And I went, stop. I know you're trying to task me. I'm good. I don't need another task. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about, right? I was like, she's just looking for more for me to do. So anyways, but it was pretty funny. But, you know, marriage is when a man and a woman become one. The trouble starts when you try to decide which one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the challenge, is that you're not always on the same page. And that's what this series is really about, is how we can have a relationship turn into a relationship, so we shift into the right direction. I'm excited about this series, but I want to challenge you to be with us all month long, like for the next 4 weeks, because it's really a whole package deal. And we're talking today about how we can shift from selfishness to selflessness. But I want to challenge you to be here for the entire series, not just today. Again, we're glad you guys are here, but really we want you not to miss any of this. I'm fired up. I do want to start by saying this. The reason I'm talking on this is because I am a relationship expert. I said to my wife, she laughs just like you are. I don't understand that. But, you know, I'm excited. I can tell you this, man. I want to tell you with unerring accuracy, I know what your wife wants, so I really can't help you with this. Okay, here's what she wants. She wants you to take her in your arms, lift her up, carry her to the bedroom, throw her on the bed, and let her take a nap while you clean the whole house. Where are my ladies at? See what I'm telling? I know. See, I know. I got you. I know. Exactly. I'm excited about this, though, because I believe this can help you. We're going to be looking at there's a certain book in the Bible called the Song of Solomon. It's a poetic book. When you read it, it's very poetic. It's beautiful. And it's clear that we're not sure if it was actually Solomon or not, but it was under his reign, under his leadership, that this was written. And we'll tell you this about Song of Solomon. Clearly, this couple is courting. They're either engaged and about to be married. In fact, that's what most people think, that it was. They were in probably within even a week of getting married. And so, I mean, it is steamy and hot. You read this thing, you're like, whoa, there is a lot there. And I want to tell you that a lot of it's very sexual. I mean, if you read the Song of Solomon, it's all there. And you're like, man, this is crazy. In fact, honestly, there's some sections of Song of Solomon I will not be able to cover in church. It is like, whoa, I can't believe they just said that in this book. It is crazy. But I think it's important to note this, because God created love, sex, dating, and marriage. He created all of it. He even created sex. That's his idea. And so I want to tell you, Song of Solomon has more information on sex than you will ever get from Pornhub. I just want you to know right now. In fact, you're getting the wrong information on that website and others like it. In fact, it's ruining a lot of lives. I kid you not. But God's word is the way to go. He created it. He created love. He created marriage. He created the way it should be done. So please, if you keep selling out to the way the world's doing it, don't be surprised when you get the worldly results of brokenness. But if you will sell out to the way God does it, you will get the freshness, the excitement, the passion that you're actually looking for. The world's lying to you, telling you how to do it, and it's not working. But watch how God can change things if you'll shift into doing it the way he wants you to do it. So you guys ready to get started? Ready to dive in? All right. So each week, we're going to take a key verse out of Song of Solomon. This week is Song of Solomon 2, verse 14 and 15. So we're going to dive right in. Here we go. It says this, Song chapter 2, verse 14. Oh, my dove. Now, if you're like me, you're like, wait, what was that? They use language that's flattering in their culture, but not really in our culture. Like they say, oh, you're as lovely as a mare. They're referring to a horse. You're like, a horse is lovely? You know, but I mean, so just keep in mind, this is the language, the time it was written in. He says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Now, the easy thing is to read this and go, okay, he's attracted to her. That's what he's saying. Oh, but there's so much more. In fact, this is great for young love, but it's even better for old love. And let me tell you what I mean by that. in this, this gives us such good insight. He says, come out from the clefts of the rock or the crannies of the cliff. What are those? Those are hiding places. And this is really important because selfishness, if I could define it real quick, let me tell you what selfishness is. I believe this is what relational selfishness looks like. And this may surprise you. You think, oh, that means someone's being a jerk. Someone's cussing the other one out. Someone's being rude. Well, those are all bad things too. But I think selfishness is actually simpler than that. And this is how we oftentimes don't realize it, but we're being selfish even as believers in our relationships where we truly love the other person. Here's how selfishness looks a lot of times in even a Christian marriage. Selfishness looks like this. You know your partner is not happy, maybe even emotionally withdrawn or even hiding their wounds, and you do nothing about it. That's what selfishness looks like. Is that you know they're not really happy, you know they're frustrated or even hurting, but you defend it. You think, well, I'm hurting too. And so you let defensiveness cover up the fact that we should actually fix that. So what does selflessness look like? How does it begin? And the reason I want to start with this message is because if you don't get the core of this message, nothing else I say all month will even work. This is the core of today's message. It's found right here. He says, come out from the rocks, come out from hiding. I want to see your face. You ever had something really heavy you need to tell someone? I bet you didn't text them. Why? You want to see their face. You're like, I need to maybe FaceTime you or see you face to face or, you know, at the very least Zoom. I need to see your reaction, right? If it's really big and heavy, what you want to tell someone, you don't text that, right? And so instead, you got to be face to face with them. He says, come out from hiding. Come out from the crannies of the rocks, from the crannies of the cliff. And he says, let me see your face, and I want to hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, your face is lovely. So he says, I want to be face-to-face, I want to hear from you. So here is the bottom line of how to go from selfish to selfless. Here it is. Shift to selflessness by creating a listening session. A listening session. First time I heard of this concept was a guy by the name of Dr. Gary Chapman. Now, he's famous for a book called The Five Love Languages. Maybe you've heard of it. If you haven't, it's an incredible book. I highly recommend it because we all have a love language that we want our love tank to be filled by. Now, that's a whole other message, but I want to tell you this. Another book I was reading from him, he said that when he first got married, him and his wife got in a fight. And he said it was about the fact that she wanted to go see her relatives at Christmas, but they didn't have enough time to go to both, and he wanted to go see his. Now, if you haven't figured this out yet, when you get married, you marry their family too, whether you like it or not. You do. You marry a family. You marry in, right? So that's a whole thing right there. So what he did shocked me next. When I read this, I was like, wow, I've never heard this foot before. He didn't say, listen to your spouse. He didn't say that. He said, here's what I did. I sat down with my wife and I said, for the next hour, I'm just going to listen to you as to why you think we should see your family. So she talked for an hour. Man, if you don't think your wife could do this, try it. She'll be able to do it. I promise you. She'd be able to fill up the hour, not a problem. But he didn't get defensive. He didn't say, oh, well, hold on, no, you're wrong about that. He didn't do any of that. He just listened. In fact, good listening is like this. You have clarifying questions like, what I hear you saying is this. Is that what you mean? So you're clarifying. You're not defending yourself. You're clarifying. Because the moment you start defending yourself, guess what? Now you're not listening. You're listening for information as ammunition. You're not really listening anymore. And so now what you end up doing, you start talking over each other. You're not actually listening. And this is what arguments look like, right? So he said, I just want to hear from you. So for the next hour, he did that. At the end of that hour, he says, is there anything else that you need to tell me? Anything else that you feel like I'm not hearing you in? And then she went into some other stuff, right? And he's like, okay, is there anything else? And finally, he says, is there anything else? No, I think you got it. Okay. She thanked him, and it was a short time after that, she came and they got together. They figured out how to go see both parents. The point isn't that he got his way. That's not the point. In fact, if you try to get your way through this, it'll feel manipulative because it is manipulative. So it's not about that, but it's about actually listening to the other person. If you will do this, it will change everything. So create a listening session. Notice I didn't just say just listen to each other. This is very intentional. If you've got an issue, if you will really hear them out, it can change everything for you. You know, how about you? How many of you guys agree with this statement? Being married is like having a best friend who doesn't remember anything you say. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's common though, isn't it? And I would just want to challenge you. Could it be that one or the other of you feels like you're being repetitive? Like you say, oh, they're just always bringing up the same thing. That's because you haven't listened the first time. So if you begin to really listen, Maybe we can get some resolution to this. A little boy asked his grandpa, why did God give us 2 ears and 1 mouth? Grandpa said, because God wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. It's good, isn't it? But oftentimes we don't do this. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But let's be honest, oftentimes they bring up that certain subject and you're quick to get angry. And it shuts down communication. This is why people go into hiding. This is why married people who know everything about them, you know, each other, will just shut down. And so if you're like, my spouse won't even talk to me. Well, maybe it's because they're thinking, when I did talk to you, it didn't work anyway, so why talk? So this is where listening is actually showing true respect and honor for the other person. I had a professor in college. I'll never forget this guy. His name was Dr. Miles McCall. My degree was in speech communication, so I'm a professional speaker. But I would tell you this. I had all these classes on how to speak this way, that way, communication, persuasive speeches, and, you know, different kinds of speeches, all these kind of things. But I only had one class out of my entire degree on listening. And it's the one class I remembered. Because it's the way the professor explained it that was so powerful. I'll never forget him because I forgot most of the other professors, but I remember him. So one day I just thought, I'm going to look it up and see what he's doing now. So I looked him up, Googled him, checked him out. He is now the president of another university. I'm not surprised. You know why? Because when you listen to your bosses and actually do what they ask, surprise, they like you. See, listening doesn't just work in your relationship. It works in your career. It works in everything. When people tell me, oh, man, that sermon really nailed me. That was such a good message. You know, most of the time, the best messages I preach or because I'm listening to you in the atrium. And I'm like, everyone keeps bringing up the same issues. Let me preach on that. And so I'm just telling you, listening makes a difference. I'll even sometimes have my assistant. I'll say, go around the building, find anyone who's here, volunteer or staff member, don't care, and just ask them, if Pastor Bill could talk on anything that would help you, what would it be? I get this amazing compiled list, and it's almost always the same things. I'm like, there's my agenda. And so I want to challenge you. If you'll begin to listen, the best salespeople listen to the customer before they start selling them. Find out what they need, right? And so this works in every area of your life. Shift from selfishness to selflessness by listening intently. If you'll do this, and by the way, singles, this works for you too. Listen to one another, but let me also say to singles, be careful who you listen to. Sometimes you're listening to the wrong sources as well. Just because someone acts like they're a relational expert online doesn't mean they are. You know, even preachers online, examine the fruit of their ministry or their life before you just take whatever they're saying as gospel. So I just want to warn you about that. We're listening to a lot of times the wrong sources. So make sure you're listening to the right sources. But anyways, I also wanted to say this. Those of you who are like, okay, that sounds great, but I'm so hurt, Pastor. I'm going through so much difficulty. I don't know how I can listen to him. Next week's about that. Next week's message is called Shift from Hurt to Healing. We're going to talk about some very specific steps you can take to finally bring some healing so you can open your heart towards one another again. But again, we have to begin today by listening to one another. So he says, hey, come out from the rocks, come out from hiding, and I want to hear you, okay? Because we tend to hide from each other. What does that mean? We tend to keep things from each other. We don't want to really tell the full truth about how we're really feeling because we tried that before, it didn't go well because we're not good listeners. So then it says this next, though. It says, now catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Now, God is using an illustration of a garden. He says, hey, be careful, because one little fox can destroy the entire garden. If you're a gardener, you probably already know this. One little rodent can come in and eat everything and ruin the whole thing. I have a friend that raises deer, and one particular year, a wild dog got into where his deer were, and it cost him $100,000 in deer. One dog. I said, did you catch the dog? He said, yeah, what'd you do? He said, you don't want to know. I was like, I don't want to know. Bottom line is this, is that we don't realize that one little bitty habit, one little thing you do could actually destroy everything. Maybe you're like, well, I mean, sometimes I'm just a little snarky. That can take away the respect in your marriage. That can destroy, that can eat away at your spouse's self-confidence. You know, just one little white lie. That white lie destroys trust. In an instant, and it takes a long time to rebuild it. I don't know what it is for you, but oftentimes there's something little that can turn into something big if we don't deal with it. So catch for us the foxes that are spoiling the whole vineyard. Dave Willis says this. He says, in every disagreement with your spouse, remember that there is not a winner or a loser. You are united, so you'll either win together or lose together. It's really true. So you can win an argument. Great, you won the argument. Congratulations, but you lost the relationship in it. I just want to challenge you. Listen, everybody wants to marry Mr. and Mrs. Right. Nobody wants to marry Mr. and Mrs. Always Right. So it's really not about that. It's about coming up with solutions that both of you that are satisfied with. And if you're getting defensive, as I'm talking about this, I don't want to listen to them. They think this and they think that, and they're wrong. Well, maybe to you they're wrong, but to them you're wrong. So it's just different perspectives. So I want to challenge you to understand that you can defend yourself and you're defending mediocrity in your marriage or your relationship. Or you can humble yourself and actually listen. And even if you think they're wrong, that's their perspective. That's how they view it. So I just want to challenge you to hear them out. Timothy Keller, great pastor and theologian, he's now passed away. He said this. He said, if two spouses each say, I'm going to treat my self-centeredness as the main problem in the marriage, you have the prospect of a truly great marriage. Why did I bring this up? Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit is other control. So the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I can't control my wife. I've tried. It didn't work. I can only control me. She can't control me. She can only control her. Make sense? So the only part of the relationship I can fix is me. So if we will do this and listen to our spouse or our significant other, then we'll hear them out. Then we can actually fix some things. Now, so what's the next step after you've had a listening session on both sides? The next step is this. Number two, this is a word we don't use often, but I use this on purpose. Take communal action to fix the threats in your relationship. Communal is not a word we use often, but that means today is not about dragging your spouse to church unlimited to hear the pastor could blast him and tell him, you heard Pastor Bill. You need to do this and you need to do that. No, you're missing the whole point. Communal action means let's both sit down and figure out what we both need to work on. Well, here's the things I need to work on. Here's what I'm asking you to work on. Communal action means you're both involved. Fixing them leaves you unfixed. So we both have things we need to work on. So this is important that we see that we each have a role. I mean, the Bible's real clear about this. I mean, at one point, Jesus says, hey, don't look at the speck in someone else's eye while you got a log hanging out of yours. We have a tendency to always look at what's wrong with someone else and never see what we need to work on. So I want to challenge you to find solutions that work for both of you. Take communal action. This is very important. So what are you both going to do differently to see better results? And then the last part of the scripture says this. So it says, catch the foxes for us. Oh, by the way, it says for us. It doesn't say for me. For us, right? You're both working on parts of it, okay? Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards. And then it says, for our vineyards are in blossom or bloom. That means that the foxes know if I'll wait a little while, I'll get to eat some big fruit. I'll attack at the right time, right? So the devil is a little fox, and he knows when you're vulnerable, and he'll come after you just at the right time. He'll wait 25 years into your marriage to ruin it. He'll wait 40 years in your marriage to ruin it. So what are the moments that we're vulnerable, right? Fruit is vulnerable when it's in bloom. That's the most vulnerable time. It hasn't been picked yet, hasn't been harvested. So it's just sitting there waiting for a fox to come grab it. That's the most vulnerable time. You know, there are vulnerable moments in your life as well, and you need to know them. So you should be listening to one another, protecting one another from those vulnerable moments. Let me give you a few vulnerable moments. First of all, the most vulnerable thing about all of us is anything in our past that we struggled with. So if you struggled with alcohol or drugs in the past, then you need to admit you're always probably going to be somewhat vulnerable to it. So be careful there. I have a friend that doesn't drink at all, and I thought, I wonder why he doesn't do that. And I realized he used to have a drinking problem. That's why. He just knows, I don't want this to mess up my life, mess up my marriage, and I just don't do it anymore. Some people, that's no big deal. I just have a drink. He doesn't have a drink. If he has one drink, he has 100 drinks. So he's like, it's not going to go there. What is it that's been vulnerable for you in the past? Maybe it's pornography. Maybe for you, what's vulnerable in the past is past relationships. Yeah, I'm going to warn you, just as a pastor, I've been pastoring long enough the same church to hear a lot of things I hear over and over again. For example, one of the big things I'll warn you about is if funds get too low, that becomes a vulnerable situation in your marriage. And so providing for your family is a big deal. So don't get casual about money. You got to think about that. Make sure there's enough. Make sure you're conservative enough on your spending to make sure you're good. How about another one? Here's something I hear a lot of times. If you go back to a high school or college reunion, be careful. There's previous relationships there. And so that will leave you vulnerable. I have heard horror story after horror story. In fact, frankly, this is a big issue to you. You just don't go. It's just not worth going. So I don't know for you what it would be. Maybe in your industry, it's common for certain clients to expect to be taken to certain places that you know you can't go. So you say, I'm going to be different in my industry. I know that's what the industry stands for, but I'm not going to do that. I can't go to those places. So I just want to encourage you to just see, where are you vulnerable? Here's another thing where people are vulnerable. They're vulnerable when seasons shift. For example, maybe you've been a young couple, you're in love, and all that's great. Then you have a baby. Oh, your season just shifted big time. That's a vulnerable spot. Another vulnerable spot is when you have a child, maybe you have some teenagers and one of them's acting up and you're having to deal with that. You suddenly find yourself going against each other and you're like, wait, we're not the problem. Why are we attacking each other when we've got a kid that's driving us crazy? So get together and attack them. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. The point is, though, is that these are vulnerable moments. You know what's also a vulnerable moment? When all your kids leave the house. A lot of couples that did not continue to invest in one another but just came mom and dad, all of a sudden the kids leave and you're like, what holds us together? That could be a vulnerable moment for you. So you need to know those moments and protect yourself from those times. Maybe a job change, a season of life change, maybe retirement. There's all kinds of moments like this. So be careful, because the devil knows when to attack you, and he will. During the Civil War, probably arguably our greatest president was Abraham Lincoln. Most people would agree with that. And he would actually oftentimes during the Civil War go and visit hospitals and to see his men who were injured. One day he was doing this, and one of the men who was injured just sat up in bed and said, Mr. President, you have so many more important things to do. Why are you here seeing me? And he said, because I want to know what my men are going through. That's a really good leader. It's brilliant, actually. Good leadership is listening. If you want to be a good leader, be a good listener. Leadership is listenership. If you will listen, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, I need someone who's listening to the people, right? I just want to challenge you with that same mentality. If you will circle back and really listen and then find solutions together to overcome some of the struggles you're dealing with, everything can get better. It can shift into high gear in your relationship once again. And then once you do this, once you come up with some solutions, here's what we have to do. Number four, prioritize the other person first. Prioritize the other person first. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, Ephesians 5, 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right after this, it says husbands are the head of the wife, and she's to submit to the husband. But it says husbands are to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Now, just let me speak to this real quick. We have multiple generations in our church. My parents' generation, it was kind of like the man, like, this is how we're going to do it. And the wife just said, you got it. That's how that worked, right? And occasionally there was abuse, right? And that's not good. I did not grow up in a family like that. My mom and father, my father always honored my mother. But I do know that there's cases like that, right? So then what happened? We've swung all the way to this youngest generation now to where we've essentially beat up men and emasculated them to where we won't even, I mean, you even bring up the word submission and people freak out. It's like, guys, the Bible's clear, and I want to be real clear here. Men, you are called to be a man. I mean, the world's trying to turn men into women now. It's crazy how far it's gone. It's okay to be a man and to lead. It's okay. I want to give you permission here. The Bible's very clear about this. But when you lead, lead by putting the other person first. Do you hear my heart when I say this? If you will do this, I need to let you know something, men. Nothing is more attractive to a woman than a man who knows he's submitted to God and willing to honor his wife. That is attractive to a woman. She's looking for man to be a man. That's okay. That doesn't mean you're lording it over her. It means you're leading her. And in my marriage, I've been married over 30 years, I can tell you this, there is very few times, but they do happen, but on occasion only, when I have said to my wife, babe, I hear you, I really do, and I actually have heard her, but I really feel led by God that this is the direction we're supposed to go. And you know what she does? She says, okay. And sometimes I know that her okay is, I'm going to duck and let God hit you. I think you're wrong. But she's willing. You know what the word submit means? Submission means sub, lower than the mission. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I promise there's times when she's honored me, not because she felt like I was doing the right thing, but she's like, I'm honoring you because I'm submitted to Christ. And there are times I have to admit in my life when I've honored my wife, not because I felt like it, but because I was honoring Christ. This is the power of a Christ-centered marriage, is that even when you're frustrated with one another, you still do the right thing, even when you don't feel like it. We're both submitting to one another because we're submitted to Christ. Does that make sense? If you will take on this spirit that I'm trying to bring this, and please hear my heart when I say this. No, I'm not excusing abuse on either side of the of men or women. No, of course not. But when you honor one another as you would honor Christ, God gets the glory, and God will get the attention of your spouse when you honor them anyways. He's a big God. He can take care of them, I promise. Does that make sense? You hear my heart when I say that? But let's let men be men and lead. It's okay. Just lead from the heart. Just lead with honor. It's a game-changing move if you will do that. And so that's important. And so submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And how did Jesus put it? Look at Matthew 7:12. Do to others what you want them to do to you. This is the meaning of all the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets. What this is saying is, if I could summarize the whole book into one thing you need to do, it's this. I need to treat you how I want you to treat me. You know what? I wish my spouse would listen to me. Oh, wait a minute. That means I should listen to them. You get the point? It's not complicated today, is it? It's very simple. But boy, you got some big homework. It's time for a listening session, isn't it? I want to challenge you to do this without the kids around, without anyone else around, just you and the one you love, and say, hey, I just want to stop and not ask you to listen to me. I want to stop and I want to listen to you. And watch what God will do through that. I have two different friends from around the country, both married, both big leaders making a big impact. One of them decided to quit listening to his wife. It's just a matter of time until he blew the whole thing up. No longer married, lost the respect of his children, lost everything he had virtually. And he's struggling to this day. And I have had a front row seat to carnage watching how he blew everything up because he just wouldn't listen. I have another dear friend that I went and saw a number of years ago and was like, man, how you doing? We're catching up. He said, I'm good now. I was like, good now? What does that mean? He goes, well, I'm going to be honest with you. We almost got a divorce. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, bro, I had no idea you were going through. He goes, oh, man, it was really rough. I said, what kept you together? And he said something that surprised me. He began to tear up, and he said this. He said, one thing kept us together, empathy. When I finally dropped my pride and just listened to my spouse, said, what am I not seeing? And I put myself in their shoes. Then they did the same with me. Everything changed for us. So I just want to challenge you with this such a simple message today. But isn't it funny how something simple can still be something undone? So today, would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? In fact, I want to challenge you right now. Maybe today you don't want to hear from your spouse or your significant other, but maybe God's saying, would you listen to me? Would you listen to me? And God says to you, if you want me to bless your life, then actually listening to the one you say you love and are committed to is listening to the Father. Now, I know your spouse isn't God. I'm not saying they are. But God says for us to listen to one another. Maybe your prayer today is to say, Pastor, this is hard. I'm going to drop my pride, and I'm going to actually listen to the hurts, to the cry of the one I love. I'm actually going to do it. If that's you, no one's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Would you lift your hand high if you say, I need to do this? I know this is something you're speaking to me about. I know God's convicting me. Just lift your hand high if that's you. You say, I need to have a little listening talk. I just need to listen. Just hold your hand high. Praise God. There's people all across our campuses saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I know I need to do this. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you've never given your life to Christ, you know God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Jesus saw the need. He saw our hurt. He saw that we needed a Savior. He listened And then he submitted himself to the point of death for you and for me. Christ died for us. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you and me to individually receive him. You can pray and receive Christ right now. Pray this prayer with me. We're going to say this out loud across all of our campuses to lead you in this prayer. Just say this. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you rose again. Please come in my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you hold your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Christ, would you just hold your hand high? Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Padre Island. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport. Right here at broadcast, hold those hands high. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Those online, you can let us know that you just gave your life to Christ by putting in a text chat, "my hand's raised," or click "hand raised" right now. Right there in our prison ministry, if you gave your life to Christ, hold your hand high. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, God, that you listened to our need and you sent your son. And Lord, we listen to you now. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, may today be a fresh start. May we shift out of selfishness into selflessness through simply opening our ears and closing our mouths. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word and your truth today. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Now, everyone, real quick, stop. No moving. I'm actually not kidding. As your pastor, I love you, but I need to tell you something. There's been a lot of disrespect in God's house lately, people leaving the house of God early. I need you to stay in your seat or find another church. Thank you. I will do my best to honor your time. I mean that sincerely, but let's also honor God's house. Is that cool? We'll do that together, okay? Thanks, guys. Thanks for hearing my heart. I mean that, but thank you. It is offering time at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. It really is. We're grateful to be able to give today. In fact, I want to invite two friends of mine to come out here. This is Chris and Tasha Shaded. You guys come on out here. You guys give it up for these guys. They're dear friends. Been a part of church a long time. Good seeing you, man. Appreciate you, bro. Yeah, thank you, guys. Got Tasha here. And you guys have been a part of Church Unlimited for a long time. When did you guys first come? How'd you hear about us? How'd you hear about Church Unlimited?
So, kind of funny. I actually heard about seeing the flyers like when I was going to school here. But the first time we came, I got invited from a coworker. He invited us on a Saturday.
Wow.
2003.
Invitation works right there.
Yeah,
boom.
Absolutely. There yeah. He actually didn't even attend the church here, but he.
He invited you to church he didn't go
knew,
to.
He knew
I love
as
it.
As a young couple, he, you know, I guess he realized we needed the church. So he invited us and been coming back ever since.
That's amazing. You guys have been part of church a long time. I know you go to the Padre Island campus. Great campus, by the way. Great people. And what's cool about you guys, not only do you come, but you serve. I mean, you guys are very involved. I know your whole family is, all your kids. And I know you guys love to give. You guys are very generous. I just want to ask you, why do you give to Church Unlimited? What makes you give?
It really, you know, you start off, you hear, and it just kind of like when you're young and you're going to church and you're doing something like we were living together or whatever it was, and you mm-hmm. get convicted by the Holy Spirit. And when we decided that, hey, we wanted to take that leap of faith,
yeah.
For me, it was be part of something that you know is going to have an yeah. eternal effect. I mean, we know that the church's
that.
Mission is to reach the lost. And so that really, I think, to have that eternal effect on if we were going to be obedient in that area.
Yeah.
And once we started 06, we haven't really turned back since.
You know, it's funny, Chris, you just mentioned something you didn't mention earlier, and I love it because I love the rawness of that, that you're like, hey, we came here and we really weren't honoring God. Guys, isn't that great news that you can come here and God will take your life and transform it? Because this is one of the most godly couples I know. I love that. I love your testimony. It's so beautiful. And you began to tithe. You guys have been faithful for so long. Tasha, why do you give to Church Unlimited?
Well, God's word says to give.
Yeah.
But I also trust the leadership of my husband. You know, we love you. We trust your leadership. We love this
Thank
church.
You.
And so it makes it easy, you know, to give to that mission.
I love that. You know, it's so cool because we don't talk about this before we get up here. And I mean that because I was like, I want you to share your heart. But what's cool is that, you know, men oftentimes will say, well, I don't know how to lead my wife. And it's like, you just taught us right now, just how do you lead your wife? By honoring God. And when you obey God in all areas, not just this area, and your wife respects that and says, I want to follow suit. And so what a great leadership example of saying, God, you're convicting me. Let's get our relationship right. Let's get our finances right, honor you. And then guess what? You become a leader just like that.
Testament to your leadership. I mean, well, you teach it from the Word of God, and it goes downrange from there.
I love that. You guys give it up for the Shadeds. Thank you guys so much for sharing with us. Appreciate that. Thank you all. Incredible. Let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. Thank you for giving today. Lord, we thank you, God, that we get to give. Lord, what an honor and a blessing it is to do your work. And Lord, I thank you for the obedience of Chris and Tasha. Lord, what a great example, Lord, that we come into your house and you begin to change us and just transform our lives, our relationships, our marriages, our kids. And God, out of a heart of gratitude, we want to give to you. And God, we thank you that our church is on mission, doing your work here and around the world. Lord, please take this offering, God, and multiply it for your glory and your purpose. Thank you, God, that we can give. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Church Unlimited.